I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh, I believe the fire burns, we stay alive. They will talk about us like they talked about the kings before us.
These are the words of a believer, achiever, leader of the globe. Feed the souls of those in need. I bleed the blood of the struggle, walking over trouble puddles. Hustles in my chest, no hustle, no progress. Extremities of life in this process. Birth of a son, death of another. With love, I caress both mothers. And told them who's in control is the one that's above us. I walk where money talks and love stutters. Body language of a nation. Going through changes, the young become dangerous. Pain gets spent in the anger. Anger gets sent through the chamber. It's tough when you own look like strangers. We are the sons of gangsters and stone rangers. If you could, how about Ernie Barnes paint us? Look at the picture, hard not to blame us. But time forgives and decide where the young die often. Do they end up in a coffin because we haven't talked them? Is it what we talking? We really ain't walking. Dudes, hustlers, pay. How much did it cost them? Find myself on the same corner that we lost them. Real talking, in their ear like a Walkman. Thoughts been around the corner to the world. When I see them, I see my baby girl. Believe, believe.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh,
believe,
I believe.
Believe.
The fire.
Among us, the youngest hunger becomes a means to get it by any ways necessary. Very under pressure, children feeling lesser, but still up under dresser. Killing will aggressive, destiny's children, survivors, soldiers. In front of buildings, they eyes look older. Hard to see blessings in a violent culture. Face against weapons, sirens, holsters. That ain't the way the Langston youth wrote up. Soul controllers on the shoulders of Moses and Noah. We go from being precious to Oprah. Cultivated to overcome ever since we came overseas today. In the way that you can see to be determined. Solar keeps burning, shorties know to keep learning. Lessons in our life, but life stripes to be earning. Took Gramps' advice, that crisis returning. Like a thief in the night, I write for beacons of light. For those of us in dark alleys and parched valleys, street hits spark rallies of the conscious conquerors of a contest that seems beyond us. Even through the unseen, I know that God watches. From one king's dream, he was able to barack us. The prophets, nothing can stop us.
I believe in the light that shines and will never die. Oh,
believe,
I believe.
Believe.
The fire burns, we stay alive. They will talk about us like they talked about. They will talk about us. I know, I know, I know our dream won't turn to dust. They will talk about us. I know
our dream won't turn to dust. Good evening, and welcome to another edition of EIESOC. Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, founder, and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Tonight's show should be great. We're talking about teenage girls, ages 12 through 18. Are they dressing too grown for their age? Are we allowing our daughters too much freedom when it comes to how they dress? Does this issue lead to teen pregnancy? Are they setting themselves up for sexual predators? Are older men chasing after them? And what do the parents have to say about it? I see that the lines are full. So just let me say a few things before I open the lines. If you're calling in and you want to be a part of the discussion, please call in to 424-258-9271. Make sure to press 1. Our chat room is open. You're welcome to go into the chat room, leave your comments pertaining to tonight's discussion. Also, if you're calling in, please don't have your children in the background, TV, radio, etc., pets, for we are recording this, and we try to have a nice playback. Also, if you're on your computer and you have the volume up for the show, please turn it down or there will be an echo. I want to welcome my co-host tonight, Lynn Miller. She's running our chat room this evening. So again, tonight, what's the deal? Is this the way it should be? Are our children supposed to have tattoos, long false eyelashes, jeans that's rising around their hips, weaves all the way down their back? I want to know. So I'm going to open up the line so y'all can talk to me and let me know. My first guest tonight, I'm opening up, ladies first. I don't know where she's from, but she's a sister named Renee. Renee, are you there? Welcome to tonight's show.
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. First, I want to say, if our children are dressing inappropriate, yes, they're having too much freedom. But everything starts at home. And parents have to set an example for their kids. And sometimes, even when you have the best of parents, things happen. First, we have to figure out what the child is going through. And let me stop right there. I was a child, and at 12 years old, Tony, I had to put myself on blast for everybody else that's listening because I really care about the kids. I was a kid at 12 that was promiscuous. I did not understand until I became a grown woman, and that did not just happen years ago. It just now happened. I questioned myself, what went wrong? My dad left home. I was a daddy's girl. I did not dress inappropriate. And I was, you're right, doors opened up for men. This is not just now happening. But we as parents, we can't forget where we came from so that we can help these kids. People that I've dealt with, I was 4 years older than their children. Me and their children played together. And that's why I'm speaking out, because I have nothing but love for young girls and want to help them. I used to be ashamed, and God said to me, what are you ashamed of, Renee? You're a survivor, not for yourself, but for someone else. And it's sad, because these girls don't understand. They don't know. So we have to let them know, sweetie, you're not a mistake. You might be a mistake to man, but you're not a mistake to God. We have to let them know that you could look nice and don't have to dress inappropriate. But the parents have to set that example as well. It's hard. You know,
Well, okay, I'm gathering, you know, I'm guessing here, okay, because I'm listening to you. Was there was no example being set in your household?
My mother was the best mother you could ever want. My mother was in love with my dad. She died loving my dad.
Okay.
And when my dad left, all she knew was to love us. And she loved us to the point, let me turn this off. When she died, she was in love with my dad, and she never worked until my dad left. My dad made $100,000 in 71. He left home. I was a daddy's girl. So instead of me going out, I didn't want to be a whore. That's what I was classified as. I was looking for love. I was looking for a daddy. I was looking for somebody to me. I was looking
so,
for...
Okay, so I'm gathering... Okay, okay, all right, I understand.
Now. We could get that deep because, you know something?
Well,
I want other mothers to hear.
Right,
I
okay,
want...
and I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you called in because that's probably part of the issue what you're talking about. Looking for love in all the wrong places and attracting
yes.
a wrong type of attention. So I'm right with where you're at, Renee, and I really appreciate you calling in. Please don't go anywhere because I do want to hear more from you. We do have more callers on the line.
Okay.
I want to bring a gentleman in, okay?
Okay.
So hold your thoughts, hold your comments, because I definitely want to hear more from you. And thank
okay.
you so much for calling in, okay? I want to bring in a gentleman, Brother Gary. How you doing, Gary?
How you doing? It's Gary Tavares, CEO and founder of Tavares Entertainment, LLC, Atlanta. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Welcome back.
Yes, I love your shows. They're very informative, and you're doing your thing for the community. And I just want to say that thank you, and that's why I'm on here so much, because our missions are very similar.
Right, right. So let me ask you, on our topic tonight, what is your view on that?
Well, the lady is, I don't remember her name. I'm sorry, I'm not good
her
with names.
Her name was Renee. Her name was Renee.
Renee, I apologize for that. I'm not good with names. But
that's
Renee,
okay. That's all right.
She kind of hit a lot of the points that I wanted to address from a male standpoint, seeing, because I do go to the schools, I am a motivational speaker, and a lot of the things she said is real. These young girls are looking for attention. It may be self-esteem issue. They want to be accepted. They want to be loved, and maybe they're not getting that love from the household. And so I think that is a big problem. So those are issues that we have to address. And like she said, it starts at home. I mean, because a lot of times when you see that the young kids are dressing poorly, a lot of times you got to look also at being passed down because the mother may be dressing kind of scantily clad also. So we have to look at what's going on in the household. And like she said, it does start with parenting.
You know, okay, I'm in agreement with what both of you are saying. At the same time, I don't think all young teenage girls are doing that based on looking for love in the wrong places. I basically think it's because it's being allowed to be done, or you're watching how maybe your mom dress, and if mom say it's okay, it's okay.
And then
you know,
I'm sorry to cut you off. You also have the entertainment industry. You have TV. These young girls are growing up watching these stars and scantily clad outfits and so on and so forth, and TV, magazines. It's all around. You know, it's acceptable in society. You know, just like a lot of things that kids, the young people are accepting. You know, a lot of young boys want to be rappers. Why? Because, you know, hey, this is what's glamorized. They glamorize the 20-inch rims, the gold chains, and that lifestyle. So kids want to be like that. They want to emulate that. These young girls want to emulate Hollywood, you know. So,
wait a minute. What happened to letting a child be a child? Because, you know, there's childhood, you know, preteen, teenager. I'm seeing preteen, they looking like grown women. They looking like grown women.
Exactly, and that's a major
and
problem.
And I'm saying to myself, you know, who's letting you walk out the house like this?
Exactly. My point exactly. That's why I said it starts in the household. Who is allowing their child to dress like that? Who are allowing our boys to our young boys to walk around with their pants below south of the border? Who's allowing that? I'm talking about the young teenagers that are still with parents and stuff. Who is allowing that? It's got to be starting from the household, you know.
Okay.
And some of these young girls, unfortunately, they do look like grown women. And so they are going to attract the older guys and so on and so forth. And they're not going to ask for these young girls' IDs. You know, a lot of them are in the 21 and over clubs and stuff like that. Then these guys are not going to ask them for their ID. And then they end up on charges because the girl does look like a woman. She dresses like a woman.
Yeah, but see, you know, 15 will get you 20 if you follow
exactly.
What I'm saying.
Exactly. I'm not condoning that, of course. That's
Oh, no, I know you're not condoning it, but 15 will get you 20, you know, because I don't
exactly.
care what they've got on or how much they're made up. I know for me, I can still tell that's a child.
Well, I don't know if you've been to Atlanta, but it's pretty a challenge in here because I'm telling you, some of the young girls here, the teenagers, they look.
What you
got to
do is look at them. You look at them, you can see that they're little girls. I know for me, I look at them, I can see they're little girls. They're little girls.
Yeah, I mean, most people
you know,
can.
I mean, some people,
can.
Some men, I'm going to say it straight up, all right? Some men see what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're that trifling.
Yeah.
They see what they want to see and then tell you later, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's real. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, yes, you did. Come on. You can look at her and see that is a child. That's not a grown woman. I got another call on the line. Hold on a second. Anna, good evening. How are you?
Peace and love. Beloved, how are you? How's everyone doing?
I'm great. Welcome back. So, what do you think about our topic for tonight?
I think it's a topic that's very hot, for one. You're going to have a lot of different views that's going to actually come about. Everybody's talking about pretty much the same thing. We're looking at it just at different standpoints. We can look at the media as being a way that has also played a very big part in what our girls look at as far as being or how to dress as a young lady or being a woman. We also have issues when we go to the store and we get ready to go and buy our daughters clothes that are designed in that exact same way that we see, you know, in the entertainment business with the low V tops, the tight, you know, skinny jeans, leggings. Everything is designed now for girls or young ladies to show every part that they possibly can, their physique. So as a mother, what you have to do is you have to become very skilled when you're going out shopping for your daughter. And, of course, once again, it does play a big part, which is the home life. And, yes, we are. We are tremendously allowing our little girls, some of us are allowing our little girls to dress like grown women.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Okay, you know, I know a mother's job is hard, okay? I know that fathers are in some of these homes, because I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, there's no fathers there. Yeah, there's fathers there. And I know for me, my daughter is not going out in the street looking older than what she is. Because, I'm, you know, if I allow that and then something happens to her, of course, I'm going to be angry at who would do such a thing to my daughter. But at the same time, what about the part of how she left out the house? How did she look when she left out the house? It was the weave going all the way down her back? Did she have on false eyelashes and all kind of makeup? Okay? Was her clothes fitting up, like, you know, come get in the outfit? I gotta take a look at all of that. And that's something that, you know, some parents don't want to look at that. Oh, it shouldn't matter how my child dressed. Well, I don't go along with that. I feel like that's a parent's responsibility on how your child looks. You know, yes, there's a lot of influences out there. You know, I want to look like this entertainer, or I want to look like that entertainer. Well, you can't look like that because you are too young for that. That's not being put down. I don't
you know,
care if
something
you're upset.
Tony, that, you know, I have to say as well, you know, is we have to redefine what beauty is. That's something that we're going to have to do that. You know, we have this persona that we're giving to our little girls that beauty is, yes, the extended lashes, the extra added hair, you know, to yours, the changing of the hair color, the tight revealing clothes, the low V-neck blouses, the tight jeans that are past the waist. I think they call them low riders or something like that, to where I think they even have the thongs sticking out of the back. That was something I think they said Mariah Carey or something like that started something of that little fad. And so a lot of the girls have been, you know, kind of rolling with that type of style as well. But we as parents have got to start instilling within our daughters, especially, what true beauty is. It's not the clothes that you put on, not the makeup that you put on your face. It's not the way your outer appearance is. It's what's within. And a lot of our girls are not getting the reassurance at home that, yes, you are beautiful. Yes, you are important. Yes, you are valued. So, of course, they put on this outside armor, and when they walk out the door, it's, I need my attention. I need my affection. I need what I'm not getting here at home, reassurance, because I don't know who I am. So when I step outside the house and I get, you know, a brother look at me and he whistles at me or says, you know, ooh, you look nice and what's your name and, you know, give me the rap story, then we start smiling. Because it's like, okay, I'm being accepted or I'm being noticed or there's some type of emotion that's coming towards me and I like it.
Or you don't know what type of low, or you don't know what type of self-esteem that child might have. Okay? First of all, we need to teach our children education first. That's where it starts. Educate them. Have them to read. You know, when a child get bored because of the things that we allow them to do. My son, he was in church. I allowed him to listen to regular music. He got out of the church music. They wanted to kick him out of school. I fought it. Now he's in college. My son is 19, and he still have a curfew. Because of what I went through, I will not allow my child to go through it. I will not allow him to hang with certain kids because, not that I think he's better, but I need to teach him, you're going to grow up and be a man. You're going to grow up and be a daddy. You're going to grow up and be a husband. You're going to grow up and be a law-abiding, a citizen. You're going to have a child, and you're going to treat that child right. Everything starts at home. And these kids, even in the school will tell you that they have a dress code. But you go to school, and more activities happen in school, and pants are dropped below the knee. But the school will tell you, don't chastise your child. But they're allowing them to do whatever.
Well, wait a minute. A school is not raising my child, okay?
No, a school is not raising your child.
They can't. I feel like I can't allow the education system to have that much influence on how my child looks, how my child carries themselves, okay, in public. My little girl, okay, I'm sorry, she can't go out here looking like, I'm sorry to say it, you know, a little hooker. She can't, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. I really believe, you know, and probably because of what you just said, Renee, you know, what the school tries to dictate or society tries to dictate, we allow this to go on.
Mm-hmm.
When we're not standing up for the right to say no, because we have that right. Because outside
mm-hmm.
of our young little women, there are other teens that are doing it, but it really stands out with ours because it leads to teen pregnancy, STDs, incest, okay,
yeah.
Children, young women missing. Right now, there's a big epidemic of young teenage women missing. Now, I've seen some of the pictures of them, and the pictures were nice pictures. They didn't look bad. They didn't look too wrong. But this is an epidemic that's going on, believe it or not. Okay,
this is the parents that let their children go first thing in the morning, and they don't have to check in at night. Where are you going? I left New York in 83, and everybody asked me, why are you moving to Georgia? Kids are being missing. My kids are not going out where I don't know where they are. You can't do that. But that's because of how I lived. I have that. I tell my son all the time, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be so tough on you. I had too much fun as a kid. You can't have that fun. Now my son tell me, thank you. He's like, thank you, Mommy. I'm reading on grade point level. Thank you, Mommy. He respects his girlfriend, the family. He has respect because this is what I made him. You're going to respect the woman. You're not going to have a child and don't take care of it. That will never happen, not as long as I'm living. But when I'm gone, I need it set in you that you be the man that you're supposed to be. This is what happened.
So is
there
a difference between, okay, let me ask this. Okay, you got the boy and you got the girl. Is there a difference? What is the difference, you know? I mean, if you're instilling it in the boy, okay, and he's listening, what about...
He didn't want to listen. I made him. He would try to buck against me, and I would buck back. I'm sorry, the devil is a liar.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. You got a child, you got a daughter, she's dressing accordingly, but when she leaves the house, maybe she stops by her buddies and whose parents allow it,
mm-hmm.
and changes up
mm-hmm.
the outfit, you know, and puts on different clothes and accessories. What about
mm-hmm.
that?
You have to
what
know
about
who the child is.
Gary, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't believe you can. It's possible to follow your child around and be with them 24 hours a day. I do believe it is important to know where your child is and so on and so forth. But there are a lot of children that do that, that change their clothes after they leave in the morning. But the parents are at work, so you can't be there monitoring what your child is wearing. You know, unfortunately. So yeah, that does happen all the time.
And the things that go on the school bus, I'm in Georgia too, so I know. There's more drugs on the school bus than it is in the schools.
Oh,
gangs,
yeah, so
in Georgia like never before.
Yeah, Georgia's another world down here.
Yes, it is.
You know, and you know, everyone is making very good points. But one thing we have to remember once again, this is something in which that you have to instill with your children at a very early age. Early as you possibly can. You've got to be able to sit down with your son and your daughter, or whichever one, whatever gender you have. But you're going to have to sit down, and you're going to have to teach them knowledge of self. Once they understand and have that understanding of self-knowledge, then they're going to be able to stand out by themselves. Something in which that I teach my daughter is learn how to be to yourself. Don't go out trying to look for friends. Learn how to be content with self first. And then once you're content with self, if you come across someone that you share like interests with and you want to socialize and talk, that's great. That's fine. But they will know who they are first. So that means that other people will not be able to influence me because I know me.
Okay, so you got to teach them from the gate. You got to teach them from the gate about self-love and self-pride.
Yes.
And how to help them avoid the traps of self-exploitation. Because as far as I'm concerned, these little girls, they're exploiting themselves, not really looking at the consequences of exploiting themselves. Because they're not being told. Because they said, you know, it's okay, or, ooh, you look cute like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tony,
you know,
let me
or
say
I look
one
like,
thing.
I look like mommy, or I look like cousin so and so, or I look like such and such entertainer. And it just progresses into the next thing you know, child prostitution. You know, some grimy cat or recruit him. Next thing you know, he's got him working and living home with parents at the same time. Or convince them to leave home due to how they looking.
And
how they looking? What's the football player that got busted? I don't want to say his name. He got caught in a hotel. The girl, I think she was 16 years old.
Yeah, I remember that story, yeah.
16 years old. You
and
know,
then he said,
this is the kind of stuff that happened. And because you got predators out there like that. Got a lot of predators out there like that. Then, you know, the teen pregnancy thing comes. Okay. Most of the time, whoever is the father, he don't want to be bothered. It could be someone their age or someone older. So now we got another child born fatherless. This young lady who's had the baby probably don't have any real mother skills. Or not even ready to be a mother. So what that may lead to is child going into adoption, or God forbid, she can't take it no more and she kills the child. Because a lot of that is going around too. A lot of young teenage mothers are killing their children. So
This
is why I brought this topic up tonight. Because as maybe as minor as it seems to some, it's major to me. Because I'm looking at what's going on. This they start using drugs. Now we hanging out because now, you know, we want to go to all the parties. And you know how we want to look. And we want to be down, so we want to sound a certain way. And generally it's not very ladylike. Not very, because I've seen a crew of young girls, and it's like, my God, it's kind of embarrassing to hear them talking amongst themselves. Every other word is F this, MF that. They even talk about what they do sexually like it's a sport or something. That's crazy. So what as parents are we doing? What are we doing? We are allowing our kids to go out here and destroy themselves. Because what? We're scared of the system? We're scared of the system? Or we want our children to love us? Well, listen, I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. Okay? I'm holding it down here. What I say, go. Bottom line. Okay, you'll hate me now, but you'll love me tomorrow.
Yes.
Because when you come back and tell me, ooh, Chiquita is pregnant. What? Chiquita's pregnant? Isn't Chiquita only 13? Chiquita. Hey, y'all know what I'm saying. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, what parents do now is instead of deterring no sex, well, make sure you, if you do, make sure you safe sex, condoms, whatever. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the virus is going around, HIV, you know, the STD threat, you know. And we're allowing this to happen to our young lady. We're allowing this to happen. And then want to sit back and want to know why. I tell you why. Because it's too slack. Too slack.
Tony.
This ain't about getting along. We're not buddies. I'm your mother. I'm your father. You gonna do what I say? That is the bottom line. Okay. Our young women can look beautiful without looking like little hookers.
Tony.
But as I believe it was Anna said, you know, you gotta give them that. You gotta let them know how beautiful they are without all the extra hair, tattoos, crazy makeup, lashes all long, you know, and they're not being told that. You get, these kids are growing up feeling like if they don't have that on, they don't look good. If I'm not looking like homegirl down the street who parents are saying it's all right, I don't look good. And that's a lie. They're getting fed bad information. And it goes back to the home. Now, if the parent, especially the mother, if she's dressing like that and she's not trying to show any kind of self-respect for herself, I mean, yeah, pretty much her teenage daughter going to follow suit. Because, you know, it's one thing to tell your child, you can't look like that, and your child going to ask you why, but you're going to justify that you're a grown-up. And even as a grown-up, I really believe you're supposed to set an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's that expression? You are what you attract. I used to hear that.
Yeah, a lot of parents want their children to think that they were Snow White. You know, I remember a commercial years ago saying, "Don't teach your child about drugs, so I could teach them." Well. Somebody else teach them about drugs, they're going to teach them to be strung out, come and buy it from me. You let them know, listen, let them know about Uncle John. You understand?
Right.
And let them know what this is, what has happened. This is not good. I'm not ashamed to tell not only my child why this is wrong and why you should not do it, but I'm ready to tell the world, put myself on blast because, again, it's God's work. Somebody has to teach these kids so that they can stop and show them, I love you. I can't stand a man to go after a child. I can't stand it. I've been there.
Well, let me ask you something.
It wasn't because my mother was not good.
Right, I got that. If you don't mind sharing with us, no, what did it lead to for you, if you don't mind? If you don't want to tell us, it's okay. But
I'm good. You're helping kids. I'm good. Go ahead.
So, I mean, I'm quite sure there were some things that happened. I mean, it's obvious you've come back from them. But share with, you know, if you don't mind, share with us some of the things that you went through behind being promiscuous, as you said.
Okay. From 1 to 11, I was the happiest little girl that you could ever want to see. I was a daddy's girl. When my dad left home, like I said, I was looking for love. I had my mother's love, but it wasn't enough. I needed that daddy's love. One morning I woke up with a grown man. To today I couldn't tell you who he was. I was 12. My mother didn't know about it. I used to run and duck from my brother and sister because they would have beat my behind. I didn't know. When I got married, I've been married for 20 years. And I cried to my dad. He said, "Why are you crying, baby?" I said, "Daddy, I wish I was a virgin." And my dad said to me, "Because that is in your heart and you spoke it to God, you are." I've never been with another man in 20 years, only my husband. My husband knows everything about me. I said to my husband, "I could not do this conversation. I could run for president. I'm against presidents and everybody. You know why? Because everybody got skeletons, but no one is trying to help. I don't want another child going through this. I've been through it for all of them. I don't want another child going through this. I just got my diploma with my son." Okay, it was horrible. I think back, my friend's dad I slept with, they're dead, but their children are still alive. I'm doing great.
Let me ask you this. How did you look at the time? I mean, you were 12, okay?
I was gorgeous. I was 34, 24, 36.
At 12 years old?
At 12 years old. A buck 05, yes.
At 12 years old.
And
these men knew your age or they didn't know?
Yes. Yes. They knew it. You know, and I think back and I go, wow. Yes. We lived in the same building. Yes, and it was sad. I promise you.
How long did this go on? I mean, did you finally decide that, you know,
well, what happened was I had a boyfriend that I really liked, but I didn't know how to be a woman. He did his best to try to help me, but I didn't know how. God has blessed me with two great men. That was one. And I had another one that was so young that loved me so much. And he's a good man. But I didn't know what to do with him. I didn't know what to do with any little boys. That's how I realized that I was looking for a daddy. Because I wouldn't even mess with little boys.
So you weren't dealing with young men your age. You're looking for love in all the wrong places.
All the wrong places.
Let me ask you a question. Did you have any issues with any men who were trying to treat you with respect? Did you have any issues like that? You really couldn't handle it because you weren't accustomed to that?
Yeah. And they were young boys. I didn't know how to deal with it.
Hold that thought.
I didn't know. I mean.
Hold that thought a second. I got my co-host. She wants to chime in a second. Lynn, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. This is Lynn.
Hi.
Hey. You know what? I needed to say, quickly, I didn't want the parents of those children who have strayed to start feeling like so badly. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I had perfect parents. I had a perfect upbringing. I mean, the only argument I saw in my home was the ones that I started. My mother and father were married. My father died 2 months short of their 68th wedding anniversary. They were married from the time that they were 19, and he was 19, she was 18. Beautiful, you know, examples. I went to private schools. They, you know, they worked. Well, my mother didn't work, she stayed home, but my father worked very hard. He was a jockey and trainer, afforded me everything. I wanted to say that from the other side, what you can lead to and has nothing to do with what I was afforded. Like, and nothing happened to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody ever hurt me, ever. I was what I jokingly, you know, called the rebel without a clue. You know what I mean? Like, I was just rebellious. I was rebelling for no reason. I don't even know why I was angry. I was a teenager. That's why I was angry, I guess. You know what I mean? I joined a motorcycle club when I was 15. I had my own business when I was 19. I had my daughter when I was 21. I left the motorcycle club when I was 27. So I was raised in a motorcycle club most of my young adulthood. My daughter was born in a motorcycle club. When I say that, not born in the motorcycle, but she was born. I was in the club. I was a lifer when she was born. She was born with colors, you know. What I can say is I am who I am today. I mean, I have a college education. I do have the I was a counselor for many, many years, about 17 years, and then I went into administration. And I've counseled women with those type of backgrounds that rocked me and made me feel bad, you know, like, wow, I really wasted my entire life, you know, because here these young women have been through so much. I had the woman, as a matter of fact, the young woman that made me leave counseling, she was 24, she had 6 children, all were by her father, her brother, her uncle, her. She had been sold, basically, you know, and she was sitting there, void of any feeling, and all I could do, you know, you're not supposed to take treatment plans on, but of course you do, because, you know, you have to, because you don't have time. So I'm sitting there at home, writing a treatment plan and just crying uncontrollably. You know, I the stories of women that have been hurt, I feel for everybody, and I feel kind of bad because nothing ever happened to me, but I'm going to say there's a bunch of us that's out here ain't nothing ever happened to. And we did the same thing. I went to private school. You go right down on Jamaica Avenue. Go down to, what is that? I sent my daughter there, Dominion High School. You can watch your daughters leave your house. I'm guaranteeing you, because I was one of them. I went to all private schools. We went to school in uniform. That's what I left my house in. Get on the bus. Start pulling your skirt up, hiking it up, and putting the makeup on and the blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you that you go to school when it's an all-girls school, you don't even think about getting dressed in the morning. You might go to school with curls in your hair. You know when you get dressed? When you're coming out of school. Why? Because there's boys lined up in front of every girl's school you ever put your girl in, waiting for the girls to come out, and they're doing their hair and the makeup and the... So don't... I think the statement that I wanted to make was, like, I don't think we can blame parents, because right now parents are getting younger and younger.
We can't blame just one person.
And yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so much. You know what I mean? Like, you got grandmothers now. I'm 54. You got grandmothers now that are 35. Maybe 40. And they didn't have any examples to follow. So, you know what I mean? It's a sad, sad thing. But I'm chiming right in behind Ann and Renee, you know, that we need to step to the young women. We need not to be afraid to talk to
right.
them. You know, like, sweetie, you are gorgeous. Why would you even put a weave on that beautiful face? Why would you put those lashes on those gorgeous eyes? It's okay, sweetie. I mean, you can do what you want to do, but man, you're too pretty for all that. All right.
And do you know what? This is how we will help them, because I'm so proud of you for stepping in and saying that. All I know is my story. You know
your story. Right. I'm gonna go out now and let you guys talk. I'm gonna go back into the studio room. I'm the one that says hi when everybody comes in. All right, thank you for letting me make a statement, Tony.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you so much.
Tony, hold on, ladies. Hold on a second.
Gary, go ahead.
Tony, I was going to say that we're missing one component to this, this whole conversation, and that's the power of peer pressure. Because when I go around, when I go around Georgia and I see the peer pressure, when kids get together, they don't, they could be the quietest child at home. They can fool their parents. They could be the quietest, nicest child around their parents. When they get away from their parents, they cut up. And I see this all the time because I've even driven the transit bus, and the kids come home in the evening on a transit bus here in MARTA, and they are loud, boisterous. They act up. When kids get together, you know when you was young, peer pressure is stronger than anything your parents can tell you. You know, your parents can, you know, and it's an unfortunate thing, but that's the most powerful component. Kids do things because they want to fit in. They don't. They believe that their parents and adults are out of date. You know, I got a son that's ready to turn 24. It's like, Dad, you don't understand. You don't know. You were born back in the 60s. You're not hip with what we go through today. And this is the way they think. They don't think we have gone through what they're going through. They think we're out of date. So you could tell your child whatever you want to tell them, but you know, when you get away, when they get away from that influence, they're going to do what the, what's going to make them blend in with the other kids. And this is what I see when I go around the high schools and stuff and elementary schools here in Georgia, the kids wanting to fit in. So what do we do about peer pressure? That is always going to exist.
What do we do about peer pressure?
Well, you got a valid point. You got a valid point because, you know, coming up, yeah, we all, let me say me. I know there was peer pressure, okay? And I also know there was certain young women who dressed a certain way. You know, but it wasn't at the epidemic proportion that it is today, okay? Our generation was our generation, but for me, what I'm seeing is history is repeating itself, but it is taking another level, basically. It's taking another level. Okay, there was, I don't know if the right word here is balance, but there was some balance back then, okay?
You know why
right
we
now,
had balance
there,
back
there is
then?
None. Anything,
you know
any,
why we had
anything
balance?
Go. Hold on. Anything go. Anything goes. There's no census on anything. And who was that asking about the balance?
Renee, we had balance because even though I did what I did, I still had to hide from Miss Mary and Miss Jackson, okay? Just like I had to hide from my mother. Kids today be like, shut up, you're not my freaking mother. Who are you talking to? There's no respect.
Well, that is true because they have no respect for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They have no respect for themselves. So, they don't want to hear what you talking about. Or sometimes, you know, they take it to a level of, oh, you know, you too old to look like me or, you know, some insanity like that. So it's not an easy, it's not easy trying to help them. Not real easy trying to help them, especially when it's coming from outside the home. Because you're saying, okay, you just have to hide from Miss Mary or whoever. Today, it's a whole different story. You ain't got to hide from Miss Mary because Miss Mary's going, oh, girl, you know how good you look? You look just like your mama or something of that nature.
You know, the only thing that I could suggest what maybe we can do is in communities, maybe we need to start, like in New York, we had communities that we could go to. Parents, if your child has to be at home, a 12-year-old to me should not be at home by themselves. 13 or 14.
Mm. Isn't that the legal age, though?
I don't care if it is. Who's raising
you? I'm just asking.
It's the legal age, but you know something? Kids are very impressionable. No matter how good your child is, someone older could, what do you think pimps and con people do? They could con us to a certain degree. What could they do to a child?
Right. They're easy mark.
Mm-hmm.
They are an easy mark. And we gotta change that. I'm sorry. We gotta change that because these little young sisters, they're just a little too far gone. They're just a little too far gone. And what I think really just gets to me is, I see the little baby face, you know, and I say to myself, you know, this is somebody's daughter. This is some man's daughter. Let me say that, because, you know, and I have a little girl. And I pray about God, no, please, no, my baby can't look like that. My baby can't walk out of my home looking like that. So I always instill how beautiful she is. I always instill that, you know. I can't afford to make the mistake of letting her feel like she's not beautiful. I can't do that. Then at the same time, I got to balance that too, because that can have a bad result.
In my case, my mother told me every day how beautiful I was. You look nice in everything you put on. You're gorgeous. I could not understand, if I was so beautiful, why am I hurting so bad? If God loved me so much, why am I in so much pain?
Well, at the time, according to your story, you know, your dad wasn't there, and you know, you were aching for your father.
Yeah.
And okay, I'm not saying that's all of these little girls' issue. I'm quite sure it's probably some of them. But at the same time, there's a lot of other variety of reasons.
It is.
And
one of them
is
parents need to stop leaving them at home by themselves.
Parents stepping up. Okay. And wait a minute now. You know, I have to agree with Lynn. You got those that they coming out of good home. Okay. And, they're hanging out with folks who probably not coming out as good as homes with principles and structure. You know, and they get caught up through what Gary said, the peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That peer pressure thing is serious on the streets today. Very, very serious. You know, because if you really don't look like others, you're ridiculed, you know, you're shot down. You're really shot down. So, you know, for me to survive, if you want to put it that way, or to get along, I got to go along, in spite of what my parents may say. You know,
well,
it could be on a safety because of safety, you know. This thing here is more to it than just the you know what we're talking about. There's a whole lot to it,
And the peer pressure is so powerful. We down in Georgia, we've had a couple of kids that killed themselves over the bullying, and that's how powerful peer pressure is. Peer pressure is, you're told you don't fit in, you're not beautiful by the kids, and all the other kids don't look like you look. You know,
mm-hmm.
Your parents may be telling you you're beautiful, but all the kids there, you know, don't dress like you. You dress like a decent young lady. They don't. You don't fit in. You get teased. We've had kids down here in Georgia, I think two or three cases over the past few years of kids killing themselves.
11-year-old boy.
Yeah, he's killing themselves because of the bullying. So that's how serious
the school is not doing anything.
Huh?
The school was not doing anything. The schools in Georgia lie.
Yeah, but
well, that's across the nation. The schools are not going
to
do anything because the schools don't feel like that's their responsibility. How your child comes to school, how your child looks, they don't feel like that's their responsibility. And plus, they don't want to have the issue with the parent. Because, you know, some of these parents go up to school very hostile. What's the matter with how my child looks?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Some of the parents will go to the schools, and they'll want to fight the teachers. If a teacher tells a child something, and it was just on the news today here in Atlanta, there was a teacher that got fired and everything else. He was getting ready to call the parents of this young lady, he's going to call the parent and say, look, your girl is failing and this and that. The girl flipped the script and went to the news and everything and told her parent that the guy fondled her, got the teacher fired and everything. You know, so when teachers get involved, I mean, he was crying because he got he was stripped of his accreditation.
And his kids go to the school.
You know, just because he was concerned for the child and the child didn't want a parent to know, now his whole career is flushed down the toilet. Even though he was exonerated, it doesn't matter. You still have it on your record. You were accused
of it. Exactly.
And the little girl.
If I could interject, Tony, and say something, because I know we're all making some very good points here. And one thing I have to say, being someone who works in a school district, there's a lot of things in which that we as parents do not see behind closed doors once your child gets to school.
Right.
And I know firsthand, I know even today, I had a couple of my eighth grader girls that were going through some emotional issues within my class. And something that I always do with my students, regardless of their ages, is I always give all of my students respect, and I tell them exactly that when we're in class. I always do my own introduction of who I am and how I work it in my class. If there's any issues or problems, like I tell them, I don't write you up. I don't send you to the office. That's wasting my time, and that's wasting the administrative time to deal with an issue that I can very quickly here in this classroom. And we step outside. Whoever the child is, if there's an issue, we step outside and we have a one-on-one conversation. And that is the time where I connect with that child because I'm looking at that child in their face, in their eyes. And I'm asking them out of a sincere and in-depth concern what's going on. And I can't tell you how many times I've had students break down in front of me and start crying because there are issues that are going on at home. Or because that particular teacher has ridiculed them to a point in front of everyone to where they shut down.
Mm-hmm.
School is not going to take your children because that's not what they're interested in. First of all, you're sending your children to an institution that don't even like them, period, because of their color. Their education that's there, they're not getting it to help benefit them. It is to benefit theirs. Not to benefit ours, it's to benefit theirs.
Yes, it is.
Our children are highly.
I know, are you still there? You got cut off for a second. Say it again.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. I say, but when that student or those students find that you are very compassionate, concerned, yet disciplined, stern individual that cares about their well-being, you will be amazed the actual turnaround you get in that class or with those students. Can't tell you how many times I've done it over and over. And I can tell you this right now. I was put into a classroom that I was told later was the worst class in the complete school. They had ran off five teachers within one school year. And I had the assistant principal come in, which I didn't know she was watching, but I could care less if she was or not. I'm having class. These are my students, and they're going to learn. And they're going to learn in a way that we're going to keep it interactive, we're going to keep it fun, but at the same time, they're going to learn from me, and I'm going to learn from them. And she came in, and she started talking to me. She said, why is it that you guys, I see you engaged
your reading with this teacher, and I'm a substitute. I'm not even a licensed teacher yet. I'm a sub. But it was the point of the interaction with me and what I was showing them, which was, one, was respect. Two, was going to be disciplined in my class. Three, if there's any problems in which that I have, I always have a perfect way to deal with it. And they don't like it.
Love.
And it's called the dictionary. And I pull out that dictionary. The dictionary or the thesaurus. I say, I'm going to help you very quickly, on education-wise, get you where you need to get to, because we're gonna take it all the way back to Malcolm X. We're going to bring it down to where you finna learn this dictionary. I'm going to elevate your level of knowledge, your words, things in which that you use, because majority of them are on a reading level of a second grader, and this is 7th and 8th grade.
Try 10th grade on the 4th grade level.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I got 5th and 6th grade. Once again, that's on the 2nd grade level. They can't even pronounce words. But you have to, I know within school, there are so many different things that occur and happen with so many different teachers. You have a very, very small amount of teachers that are really there because they have the passion and they have a love for teaching. You have a very small amount. Majority of them are not. They're not interested as far as they can actually get down there and tie their shoelaces and get back up real quick.
You know,
they are interested. All they want is that paycheck, and I've heard it too many times from too many teachers. Matter of fact, they had to get rid of her because she cursed out some students in the class and had been using profane language in the class. And this was 5th grade.
Now, what I found out is that a lot of times parents don't know how to advocate for their children, one.
And it's also.
What I teach parents is, first of all, you don't have to step foot in the classroom. Send them an email. Give them 48 hours. That 48 hours is enough time for them to hang themselves, because they should get back in touch with you within 24. I am sick of media and everyone else wanting to put the parents on TV when their child is dead. I called Channel 2. I called Oprah. I called 107. I called every station I could about my son, crying on my knees. But I never gave up. My son was in the 10th grade reading, the 4th grade reading level. He came out of high school with a 1.6 GPA. He graduated from Faith Academy with a 3.2. Never wrote a book report. I'm yelling at them. He has an IEP. What are you doing? Oh, he's going to be just fine. Okay? My son was accepted into Gainesville State College. This is his second semester. He's passed in every class. He could not
read. Very good.
But I did not give up. He could. He was reading a 4th grade level. That's not reading.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay.
No, I follow you.
And I did not give up. They kept stepping on me like I was a roach.
Mm-hmm.
But I just would not die. Mm-hmm. I told them, I'm sorry. You've locked too many of our boys up, our men up. Get off of this one. Get off of this one. I mean, kids are dying down here. One kid went to a party, and because he walked past some kids that didn't like him, they beat him until they pierced his heart with his ribs, and he died. First thing the mother wanted to do is go on TV. Don't put me on TV now. I listen to it all the time. Schools won't even let me inside the schools to speak or anything. Why? Because I'm too voiceful. I love these kids. They are afraid.
I hear you on that, because I've voiced quite a bit in my classrooms, and I talk to my students, but then at the same time, there's a lot of different groups that are being started here within my area that I'm also a part of, and pertaining to the parents and the citizens here within my city, and we're working on some things as well. And one thing that I try to do is connect with my students, because I never know exactly what's going on with them at home, trying to instill what I possibly can when I'm there with them. Because a lot of times there is some things that are going on at home, and that child will bring a tremendous amount of weight with them to school. I had a student last week wrote me a letter in class. The saddest thing, and I really wanted to burst into tears, but he wrote me a letter and asked me if he could go and call his mom, because his mother and father were having a disagreement that morning. They had a fight. And he wanted to go and call his mom to make sure that she was okay. This is the second time this child has asked me to do that. And I let him do it, and I told him when he came back to let me know how everything is, you know, still keeping it confidential for him, but, you know, just to let me know everything's okay, or, you know, I did get a chance to talk with her. And when he came back, his little eyes was just as red, and I told him to step outside the door. And once I closed that door, I told him to look at me, and I told him, it's not your fault. And I don't want you to think that, because I know as children, especially the smaller they are, they start looking at themselves as feeling like they are the reason and the purpose, that their mother and father is not getting along, or they're having disagreements. And when I tell you that child just broke down and started crying, and this is one of my black males, and it hurts my heart to see it. And this child is bringing this to school every day. And it's like,
Let me ask you a question. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. How hard is it for a young teenage girl to say that she's been violated by someone older than her or someone in her family? I mean, can anybody help me out with that? How hard that is?
Be hard.
That contributes to their behavior, you know, where the consequences really don't matter. Because maybe they start to really feel worthless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I really believe there's some kind of shock effect that happens.
Yeah.
Once the act goes down, reality really sits in. You know, what has just happened to me? Who can I tell? I can't even tell my best friend. Who can I tell? Who can I trust, number one?
Well, a lot of times, because they might think that they're going to get in trouble.
All right, hold that thought for 1 second. Tonight we're discussing our young teenage girls. If you're listening, please call in 248-9271. Press 1. If you're in the chat room, leave your comments. You're welcome to join in on the conversation. I will get to everyone who calls in. As I said, the number is 424-258-9271. Please press 1. Go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry. Who was speaking just now? Answering my question. Who was that? Was that Renee or Anna? Because I was talking about telling that secret. That secret that
it's very hard. It's very hard. Of course, that is the accusing part of them when they will actually become withdrawn. You know, some teens will go through different acts. As a way of expressing that something has happened, but you have to know exactly what those are. A lot of times they will become withdrawn. They will start acting out.
About.
You know, there's a lot of things that occurs and happen. I know when that type of act comes about with them. I've talked with some teens that have experienced it. I know some people that have actually gone through it at very early ages as well. And once again, it takes a lot. It takes a lot from them to actually be able to even talk about it.
Right, because it traumatizes. I would imagine it traumatizes an individual, where some individuals are ruined for life.
Right, right.
Ruined for life. Their outlook on men is terrible. The next thing you know, they're working in the clubs. You know, they're dancing. They're doing a whole lot of stuff basically to themselves.
And little girls, because
they feel, hold on a second, their self-worth is gone. Nobody's going to want me. The whole ugly story. Who was that, Gary, you were talking?
No, that was me. I said that little girls feel belittled. They don't want to feel belittled. They don't want people talking about them. They don't want to disappoint their parents.
Right. Right, and it leads to a vicious cycle. It leads because, you know, drugs come into play, drinking comes into play.
Right, because we're trying to find ways to suppress the memories, the emotions.
Exactly.
The feelings, because it comes back. The mind replays it. We're at a point to where they don't even feel comfortable. And something else that, I know we've been talking a lot about the men, but something in which that I have to bring in too is you have to bring in and make sure we always talk about as well is the females, because there are female-to-female acts that are being done to our little girls. It's not
and
always.
You know what? That is a growing trend. That is a growing trend because
most
a lot of our young ladies are gay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's to a point to where, and it has been for a while, predominantly men. However, that is changing. It's not as much as what it used to be in pertaining to men. Now you have older women that are messing with younger girls. I know we have a crisis situation here, where high school level, these young ladies are catching the sisters that are straight and hemming them up in corners and bathrooms and literally are harassing them, worse than what the guys are. And, this is something that we also have to look at, but it was something earlier I wanted to mention that I know we talked about peer pressure and bullying. Something else that we still have to look at is, once again, is the clothing. Our girls, we have to remember, are very curvaceous. And the clothes that are set and designed are set for a narrow, small, petite, Mrs. Female. It's not designed for a little girl that has a lot of hips or has thighs. When you go and you try to find clothes that would actually complement her curves and her shapes, so that way her clothes are not tight on her, you can't find them. They're either pants or too low in the back. They ride low, and she's constantly having to pull them up. There's a lot of things that we have to look at that really play a part in also how our little girls are being dressed, because sometimes it's not the parents. Sometimes it's the simple fact that we're trying to go to the store and find them some decent clothes. It seems like the clothes we get is either going to make them look too big or make them look too small.
Well, I have to agree with that because a few months ago, my daughter's 6 years old, okay? I bought her some jeans, and I pretty much know her size. But I didn't let her try the jeans on in the store. And when we got home, I let her try the jeans on, and I bought, I think, about three pairs. Two of them, they fit nice. They were all the same size. But this last pair, I did not like the way it was fitting around her rear end. Now, you know, she's only six. Still in all, didn't look right to me. You know, I couldn't say, well, she's only 6 years old, because I know the kind of world we live in. And I just didn't like the way she looked in them, so I took them back. I'd rather go with the bigger size. I don't care. Then when you grow into them, time to get another pair. That's the bottom line. So, you know, I really think, you know, there's some preventive measures that need to be put in place. You know, my child, you know, if I'm not comfortable with how my child looks, I need to do something about it. But what I'm seeing is there seems to be, for me, just too much comfortability.
Well, let me
answer. And the justifications for it, for me, by her mothers and fathers, just don't make no sense to me.
Let me say this. Your daughter is six. I have to give to you as a mother, as a grandmother, I would say, Tony, keep her active, involved in sports and doing things. That will keep her mind off of a lot of things because she'll be tired. And we can't say just keep her in church because things happen in church too.
Exactly.
Okay?
We know that.
But you keep her
at,
yes. Especially
you're right. Keeping your child active is right, you know. And my little girl is pretty active. She's pretty active, and I pretty much monitor who she's around.
So, and you don't just have to monitor the child that they're around. You have to monitor that child's parents.
The adults. Exactly. You're better, right. You know. So you're not surprised later. If you sense something in your gut isn't right, then guess what? Perhaps your child don't need to be in whatever could be a dancing school or some activity. Perhaps your child don't need to be there because of some kind of sense that you're getting something's not right here.
And then what else you can do is, I know with my daughter, she's 30 now, and when she was growing up, there were some kids that always wanted to fight her. And a lot of these kids were in gangs. And I was like, what? One little boy came to me and he said, Miss Renee, I don't want to be in a gang. He wanted to hang out with me. And my daughter, when I took my daughter to Six Flags, he would say, can I go with you? I want to be with you. And what I would do, I would take him. I would take him, and he was so respectful. So a lot of times we need to look at these other kids as if we would look at ours, because it could happen to any child. It could happen to any child. And that's where the mentoring come in and everything. And I do believe that I stopped this little boy and his sister from getting into a lot of things. But I kept them with me. You keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. So that was my way of saving my daughter. And he was very, very respectful.
And I definitely agree with the mentoring aspect, because I think that it's very important to, you know, because we serve as a liaison between the teachers and the parents. You know, when I go to the schools and I mentor the kids, or I do the youth motivational speaking, I mean, they really treat me like I'm a rock star. I mean, and the teachers, they can't understand how somebody could come in there and take total control of their student. There's a way that you address kids, you know, and I think that aspect, you get them with something they love. You know, with me, I use educational poetry. And, you know, if you have time, I think I posted that poem on your site. So if you have indecent exposure, so if you have time, you know, I'd like to recite that poem later, you know, if you have time later. If you don't, then I won't do it. But,
No, we have time. Actually, this is how much time we have, okay? We got 5 minutes live stream, an hour of taping after that. So let me just say this real quick. If you want to call in and you're listening, now is the time. 424-258-9271. Because as of 9:30, you will not be able to get through. Yes, you'll be able to still be in the chat room, but you will not be able to call in. So, Gary, you have plenty of time.
Okay, so I'm going to do this.
Let me say one more thing, that I have so much respect for you and what you are doing. What I am against is that so many mentorships,
right,
they are getting to kids that parents have so much. Our children that don't have anything don't have a mentor to go to. I am, you know, you have rich people that have all these organizations that they give to, but a needy child can never find it.
Okay, well, hold that thought for a second. Gary, go ahead. I want to hear what you were talking about. Hold for a second, okay? That was Renee, right? Hold for a second. We're going to address that. Go ahead, Gary.
This poem I'm going to read, if I have time, but this poem is from my book called Motivational and Inspirational Poems. By the way, I am an author and a poet, but this book has 64 poems in it, and I go to the schools with it, and the kids really enjoy it, but they're learning, so it can't hurt to be educational and learning, you know. But this one is called Indecent Exposure. And it goes, why do you dress like a prostitute on duty? Your skirt is so high and you're showing your booty. Your shirt is wide open and your breasts are showing. Are you starting to see where this poem is going? You were barely able to squeeze in that dress. You're showing all your goods and looking a mess. Your designer jeans look painted on. Is your self-esteem totally gone? Perhaps your problem is low self-esteem. You want some attention, and you know what I mean. I'm sure you receive a lot of attention. Guys want to do things to you I can't even mention. Most of them don't even care to know you. They just want to have fun and do what they do. To them, you just appear to be easy. Folks around town say you dress real sleazy. You're a beautiful young lady, but you dress like a whore. You seem to be wearing less and less, more and more. You hear me, but do you really understand me? I'm not saying you have to dress like a granny. Just dress like a respectable young lady. The way you dress right now is definitely crazy. To write this poem, I had to maintain my composure, but I just had to address the indecent exposure.
All right.
Wonderful.
I like it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I like that.
I want that book.
Hello?
Yeah. I'm here.
Please share with us how to get that book.
This book has 64 poems, and by the way, it was blessed by the president and his wife. I've got an ink pen signed thank you letter from them, from the White House, blue ink, raised presidential seal for that book right there. And it's called Motivational and Inspirational Poems. And I'll give you my number, so, because my website is kind of long, so.
No, it's okay. You can say your website. We got, like I said, you got time. Tell us the website. Give us the information
number,
so you can get it. And the number. You hear them. They want it. Give it to them.
Okay. The website is www.tavares, just like the group. Tom, Adam, Victor, Adam, Robert, Edward, Sam. That's Tavares. TAVARES. Entertainment, which is common spelling, entertainment.net. www.tavaresentertainment.net, all one word. You can call me if you want to book me. I'll go anywhere in the country, any school, Harlem, it don't make no difference. I'll go there, and I don't take bodyguard. So you can reach me at 678-437-4496. And my name is Gary with one R, Tavares. And I'm the CEO and founder of Tavares Entertainment, LLC. in Atlanta, Georgia. So that's 678-437-4496.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you. Renee, are you, do you, you work for an organization?
I am trying to start my organization, which will be called Flow with Education. I want to teach parents how to advocate for their children and not let them get left behind.
Great, great, great. Gary, that was a great poem, man. I'm still
that
kind
was.
Of, you know, it was a great poem. And, yes, I read it the other day, but you really gave a good delivery. You know, I did read it, though, you know.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
thank you.
And pretty much all the poems I have are on that level. I talk about the gang banging. I talk about the saggy pants and poems that flow the same way. And the kids enjoy it. Why? Because we are in the rap era, and it's something that they can understand because it's all my poems are written to rhyme, and so the kids understand it.
Right, you write
because
in a form that they can relate to.
Exactly. And so, like I said, when I go to the schools, they treat me like a rock star when I go to the schools down here in Atlanta. And I do fifth grade because I think you got to start these children young. Fifth grade all the way up to seniors.
Believe me, you sound like a rock star saying it. You sound good.
You read it.
Really good.
You read
well,
it
believe
passion.
It or not. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, you know, I mean, I'm going to be 47 years old in March, although I don't look like it, but anyway. The reason it makes me a good mentor is because of, you know, like, I'm sorry, I'm bad with names, but I think it's Brenda today that was talking about her situation. Is the name Brenda?
Renee.
No, Renee. You're talking about Renee.
Renee. I think our situations, experiences make us strong as far as, you know, the mentoring. I think it's our experience. I mean, when I tell the kids this, I'm from the Bronx, New York. I was abandoned by both parents, mom and dad. I was raised in foster care, never been in jail, never been on drugs, and I'm doing well today. I'm supposed to be a statistic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of kids can say they didn't have a dad. A lot of black kids, 33% of all black kids can say they don't have a dad coming from the inner city. But very few can say they didn't have a dad and a mother. They both walked out, you know. And you know, I mean, so our experiences make us stronger mentors. I'm the type of mentor that says, I'm proof that you don't even have to go to jail. A lot of times we get these people that have been in jail most of their life to go into schools and say, well, don't do what I did. But to lead by example, we got to do positive things. And so my thing is we have to say, get these mentors that are out there raising their children, their little girls and their and turning them into women. What about there's a lot of single parent father homes here in Atlanta where the fathers are raising their children.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear about that. You hear about all the negativity. So I want to get those people who are doing the positive in our communities to come lead by example. And sometimes that's not in the church either, because we know that how, like we talked about before, it's not always in the church because the preachers aren't always doing right. You know?
Exactly. Gary,
I was in church and couldn't get any help.
you just hit on something that I talk about quite often, about the single fathers, okay? There are some single fathers who are stepping up and doing what they're supposed to do. And they're not looking for a medal for it. They love their children.
Exactly.
But the guy who gets all the, let's say, not even so much attention, the publicity, is the guy who ain't doing nothing. For a variety
exactly.
of reasons, okay? Some are incarcerated or you know, on drugs, whatever. Okay, but then you got those that they work, but they're not taking care of their children.
Well, let me say this.
And hold on. And for me, they get too much publicity. And that's what you're saying, Gary, too much focus on the negative. Because there's some cats that's stepping up for theirs, not just one. They're stepping up for two or three and raising them on their own, okay? And I really believe men like that deserve more props. They need to be talked about more and not less. Because what you hear is, well, there's not that many. Well, guess what? I'm grateful for the ones that are. I am so grateful for that, that they have taken on the responsibility of saying, guess what? This child ain't asked to come here. I don't care what happened between me and the mother. This is my child. I'm responsible. And, you know, they're not looking for medals. They're doing what they know they're supposed to do. Bottom line. But the guy who ain't doing nothing, he gets all the publicity. Them no good dad.
That's true. He's going to get all the press. He'll get all the press. You know, I mean, I I've been doing it for years, the positivity I do, you won't see that in the news. But if I picked up a gun and go downtown and shoot up a neighborhood, I'm on the front page of every Atlanta newspaper, you see, because we live in a society that thrives on negativity. You know, our black men are no good. Our black men are just lazy. Our black men are drug dealers. You know, and we need to start uplifting our people and saying, hey, there's people out there like Mr. Tavares, who's out there trying to do something with the youth, who is trying to uplift our communities. And this is something that we have to do as adults. That comes part of, you know, raising the youth too. Like I said before, leading by example, which is what and I mean, as an adult, you can volunteer some of your time. You know, you see, when I post my Facebook thing, I say, you can't complain about the situation if you're not being a part of the solution. Don't complain about how you're not doing anything for them but saying, oh, man, those youth are terrible, and closing your door and locking your door and think, okay, the problem's going to go away. An elephant can't get in the room, you know? So we have got to say, okay, what can I actively do to make this problem with our youth better? Whether it means volunteering a few hours a day of your time, you know, we'll spend all the time for a concert. We'll go down to the Civic Center to see a concert, sit in the concert 2, 3, 4 hours, but we won't spend time in a community center with our youth or mentoring our youth or something like that. I think we as adults have to refocus our priorities. I think it's imperative that we do that. We refocus our priorities with the youth. We have to get involved. We can't keep talking. We got to ask ourselves, look in that mirror and say, what am I, Gary Tavares, doing actively? I can answer that question because I'm out there doing something. And as I said last show, we can't just go to church every Sunday, drop some coins in the plate, and think that things are going to change. It's not going to happen. You have to actively be out there. Faith without works is what? Dead.
Dang.
So we have to be out there actively doing things with our youth. And that's what I always will believe. Hands on.
Gary, I have to agree with you fully. You know, here in New York, there's some organization that's doing just what you're saying. And these cats, they're seasoned cats. You know, a lot of these guys been there, done that. You know, I got an organization right here in Southeast Queens in New York, the King of Kings, okay? I got my brother up in Harlem, the Sledge Group, okay? Black Man Stand Up organization, okay? The Man Up organization, okay? These is cats that stepping up, and they're not getting a whole lot of publicity, but it's not stopping them from doing what they need to do. You know, And I don't know. For me, this thing is catching on. This thing is catching on. I'm paying attention. You know, I got people reaching out to me, calling me. Is this enough? Is enough? Save our children? Yes, it is. Well, I'm so-and-so-and-so from this organization. I'm so-and-so-and-so from this organization. This is Senator so-and-so. Can you come in and have a sit-down? So this thing is starting to catch on. This thing, we on our way, Gary. We are. You keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to do what I keep doing. And we're going to support each other. Our youth, okay? Now, we were talking about the young ladies. Excuse me. There's some young ladies coming out of Atlanta, okay? Mary Pat Hector. Don't forget this name. She's 14 years old. She's the director of the Youth in Action USA, sponsored by the National Action Network, okay? We need to get on board with these youngsters. They're on the move. They're mobilizing. They're not waiting on the grown-ups, okay? They in it themselves, and they're going to get it done themselves. Mary Pat Hector. I admire them for this. I stand beside them. I support them, okay? Because the greater change is going to come through our youth. With that, I'm going to end our show tonight. I want to thank everyone who came on tonight and called and shared with us. We're going to do this again real soon. There will be no show this Sunday. You know why? It's Super Bowl weekend. I'm a Giant fan. If you're a Patriot fan, I'll talk to you next week. We'll talk about how my Giants beat you up, girl. But in love, and as always, okay, the sooner that we practice no violence, the sooner we will know peace. That's K-N-O-W, deuces. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight. Love you all.
yeah, yeah. Ready for life.
Oh, yeah.
Cause you and I keep walking. All we need to get our heartbeat up.
Never give up.
Never give up.
U-P and keep the A.